you to begin to thank God, love Him, worship Him.
Father, bless your name.
Worship Him. Increase. Come on. Come on.
You are worthy.
Love the Lord.
Bless your name.
Love the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.
Wow. Hold on to your faith. Yeah. Hold on to your faith. Say, hold on to your faith. Hallelujah. We are radiant. Hallelujah. Where hearts are enlightened. Amen. Radiant P345, where hearts are enlightened. Amen. I want to share something that was in that song with you. And it's entitled Anticipate. Somebody say anticipate.
Anticipate.
Somebody say anticipate.
Anticipate.
Say Obama when ni ada bibiso. Say Eurade ebeye bribi. Anticipate. To look forward to something. Amen. Amen. Anticipate. Tell the person anticipate. Expect good things. Hallelujah. The Bible says that even you who are sinners, you know how to give good gifts to your children. If your child asks you for bread, you not give him stone. If he asks you for fish, you not give him a serpent. You say, how much more? I, the Lord. Somebody say, how much more? So, I want you to, I know charismatism and Pentecostalism has been very concerned about our foundation and our roots. But I want you to anticipate good things. Because even if you, who are evil, know how to package an inheritance of good things for your children, how much more the Lord? Somebody say, how much more? It's my prayer that any failed expectation, hopeless situation, shall receive the invigoration of hope this morning. We cannot but keep hope alive. It is the only thing they should not take away from you. They may take your money, they may, your business may collapse, your marriage may suffer some struggles, everybody does. But keep hope alive. Lift up your right hand and say, I will keep hope alive. I will anticipate. I will wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 123, verse number 1 and 2.
Psalm 123, verse 1 and 2. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens.
Unto you do I lift up my eyes. Who are you lifting up your eyes to? Some of you are lifting up your eyes to some MPs. Some of you are lifting up your eyes to some people. But the psalmist said, unto you who does not dwell in East Legon, or who does not dwell in East Chester or somewhere in Paris, he says, you who dwells in heaven. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Unto you who dwells in the heaven, unto you that dwells there, will I lift up my eyes to. Continue.
Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master.
Sadia in kwa any mabawa any eda one master so looking for the movement of their hand.
As the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress.
So
our eyes look to the Lord our God.
Listen to that. He said, as the eyes of a servant is fixed on the master. Waiting to see the master will do this, then he will move. Do this, then he will come. He says, so are our eyes fixed upon he that dwells in heaven. I'm praying for you today. that you begin to anticipate, look dearly and earnestly to him that dwelleth in the heavens, from whom all good things come about. Amen. Hallelujah. May every expectation not be cut short. Proverbs 13, verse 12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. We are past 6 months of the year. We are about to enter the 8th month. It says, sometimes certain hopes and expectations, they do not happen as we expected it to. They do not take place as our projections were. And then they make us to feel a little bit sick. Hallelujah. And so scripture says that when hope is deferred, it makes us sick. But when the answer comes, it is like a tree of life to us. I prophesy to 2,000 people listening to me that your answer will come to you. I say your answer will come to you. I say your answer will come to you. You will not always remain sick. Your answer will come in the name of Jesus. Your answer will come in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 26 verse 18. The second reader opening Isaiah 37 verse 3. Two groups of people whom, like many of us, have gone to the battlefield and have returned home empty handed. I'm speaking on anticipate. Isaiah 26, 18.
We have been with child.
Since we have conceived a certain vision.
We have been in pain.
We have actually felt the pain and the hassles of that conception.
We have, as it were, brought forth wings.
When we pushed out because of the pain we experienced, expecting to see the birthing of a vision, we brought forth wind.
We have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth.
Then we realized that the days of our expectation had resulted in a no-show, and we said to ourselves, we have failed to accomplish any victories on this earth.
Nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen.
Next reading.
And they said unto him, thus Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth.
Listen to that. Some of us have conceived some great visions. This year, last year you wrote down, this year, I am going to do this, I am going to do that, I am going to do that. But as we speak, it has still not happened. For some group of people, the conceptuals, the taking in of that seed took place. The pains and the struggle of setting up that business took place. But when it got to the time to bring forth, they realized that everything that they had labored for had become empty. I am praying now in the name of Jesus that any empty ventures that happened because of certain orchestrations in the realm of the spirit, I pray shall receive abundance in the name of Jesus. I pray shall be unto you according to your faith. And any group of people who are like Isaiah says that, alas, it is the day of trouble, shame, despair. Why is it like that? Because the children have come to the birth. The thing that we were expecting, the thing that we anticipated, had come to the birth, and unfortunately, our strength is exhausted. I am praying for somebody here who has suffered from an exhaustion of hope, an exhaustion of positive attitude, an exhaustion of living a life of anticipation in goodness, that that person be revived back by the hand of God, that the pains and the troubles and the vicissitudes of life that have embraced us and caused us to bow down our head in despair shall be removed by the grace of God. That anybody who has come to that place where they are in despair shall be resurrected, revived, resuscitated by the hand of the Almighty God in the name of Jesus. I see at his way angels riding on horses coming with strength in their hands, and the Lord is going to revive any hopeless situation are. Any hopeless situation in this room, in the name of Jesus. We are not sent unto all men, but I know I'm sent to some people here. And so I'm prophesying to those people that if the thing has been hopeless, if it has been empty, if you have gotten to the place where there was no strength to bring forth, if you have seen cycles of disappointment over and over again, may I prophesy to you who I'm sent to, that the God of heaven is going to orchestrate certain strange things to happen for you, that that empty situation shall receive life in the name of Jesus. The Bible said that Elisha the prophet said to them that ye shall not see wind, ye shall not see rain, but this valley shall be full of water. I prophesy to some empty wells. I speak unto some empty ambitions. I speak unto some young men, some young women. I speak unto some couples. I speak unto some single people who have stood at places where their wells have felt empty. That I say to the Lord that you will not see wind, you will not see rain, but that valley shall be full. That ditch shall be full of water, sir. I speak it unto you that the thing that brought disappointment and caused an emptiness in that valley, in that pit of your life, that saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind. You will not gather water. But when you wake up, it shall be restored. There shall be a restoration. There shall be a restoration in the name of Jesus. Ye shall not see wind. Ye shall not see rain. But your valley shall be full of water. Hear the word of the Lord. You shall not see wind. You shall not see rain. The protocols are changed. The paradigms shall change for you. The way it works for everybody will not be the same that it works for you. What took them 10 years may take you one. Where they killed, you will not kill. I am saying that you shall not see wind. You shall not see rain. But this valley shall be filled with water, so that you and your cattle and your animals and your family shall drink. I prophesy that the well of the Saba family shall be filled up. I prophesy that the well of your home shall be filled up. I prophesy that the well of this ministry shall be filled up again. For ye shall not see rain. Ye shall not see rain. You shall not see any thunderstorms. But that valley shall be filled with water. Anticipate. Job 47 says, for there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it shall sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. May I take this moment to announce to somebody whose branches appear to be withering. May I take this moment to announce to somebody whose tender shoots appear to be ceasing. Job 14:7, he says that there is hope for you, that your tender branches will sprout again. Though its root may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it shall bud again. I prophesy in the name of Jesus that you are about to spring up again. I say you are about to spring up again. I say you are about to spring up again. You shall not see wind. You shall not see rain. But it shall happen in the name of Jesus. Men may fail you. Men may not be able to do the right thing for you. Men may not meet your expectations. But trust on the Ephesians of whom 18 Ephesians 3:20. He says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. I pray that God shall exceed your expectations. Those of you who have been in chronic pain, chronic cycles of disappointment, I ask for grace that it be broken, that God shall cause you to see some goodness. May he who is able to do exceedingly do for you in Jesus' name. May the paradigm change for you. May the situations change for you. I said, may the paradigms, may the protocols, let it change for you. When people say there is a casting down, trust me, sir, you will say there is a lifting up. I am praying that your vocabulary will change. I'm praying that your mindset will change. I am praying that your heart will change. I am praying for somebody who feels hopeless. I am speaking to somebody who has tried and tried and tried, who has gone round in circles. that you will give them all to Jesus, lay them all at his feet, and your sorrows will turn into joy. The paradigms will change for you. John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse number 1 downwards. Scripture says that, and there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In this lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Oh, I pray that the Jesus that went into Jerusalem shall go into Kokomlemle. The Jesus that went into Jerusalem shall enter into Ashoman. The Jesus that went into Jerusalem shall enter into Bronx City. The Jesus that entered into Jerusalem shall enter into Boston. He shall enter into Springfield. He shall enter into Tennessee. He shall enter into places where your address is. The Jesus that went there, why did he go there? The very place Jesus went to, scripture says, in that Jerusalem, there was a certain pool. In that Jerusalem, there was a place where sick people were. You see, let us face the facts. We will always have sick people among us. We all have people who are paralyzed. We have people who have all these struggles. But that is why Jesus is entering into those places where there are those problems. He did not go into a place, may the feet of Christ, may the feet of his servants enter into your address. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of them that bring the good news. It says night and day, 1 Thessalonians 3:10-11, night and day praying exceedingly that God shall direct our steps to you, that we will strengthen that which is lacking in your faith. There are certain orchestrations and certain meetings that when they take place, they are arranged by God to strengthen something that is lacking in your faith. Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and the very place he stepped his feet there, there were people that needed help waiting for the moving of the water. Today there will be a moving. Tonight in your home there shall be a movement. I pray tonight in your home, in your life, there shall be a movement. I'm praying for somebody here that as they were waiting for the angel to come and stir the waters so that they will step into it. The man had been there for so long, has been ostracized, has been intercepted, has been interrupted. I'm talking about you now. Many of us like this man have always attempted to birth something, to do something. But this our people, this our background, this our people will never let us be. May the wickedness in our background fail. May the wickedness of African descent fail. In the name of Jesus. Everywhere you go, that thing is still working against them. Irrespective of geographical location. That thing is serious. May the evils in my father's house fail. May the desires of wicked people in my background, may it be corrupted by the grace of God. Let it fail. They were waiting for the moving of the water. Because at a time, a certain season, once a while, an angel steps into that same pool and begins to move. And many of you are waiting for that movement to precipitate your wedding, that movement to precipitate your ministry, that movement to precipitate that job breakthrough. I'm preaching good now. That movement to precipitate something extraordinary. But that saith the Lord, the paradigms have shifted. The protocols will change. Because the enemies and the interrupters and the interceptors are still by that pool waiting for when your movement for marriage takes place, that they will cross you. When your movement for that breakthrough is coming, that they may intercept you. And because the Lord knows that, he says, though your strength is little, that because you have believed in my name, I shall deliver you from that day of temptation. Right, Revelation 3. So because the Lord knows that your strength is little, and you are also waiting in anticipation for that movement, yet still the people, the background, the foundation, they are still around the place where the movement is about to take place. The Lord is about to shift. Somebody say shift. The Lord is about to shift. Somebody say shift. The Lord is about to change the protocols. And the Bible says that this Jesus that entered into this Jerusalem, when he got there and he knew that Bra Kofi had been in that situation for about 38 years, and he knew that there were people who were still not going to allow Bra Kofi to break through. In this, our African foundation, people live here and go to London and they can do PhD for 10 years and they can never finish. I'm speaking that there are certain things that when you are about to break forth, it is called in the Nigerian charismatic theology, it is called failure at the edge of breakthrough. I am praying for somebody who always fails at the edge of breakthrough, that the paradigms are shifting now, that the protocols are changing now. I ask God that he will renew your mind. I'm saying that the paradigm should shift for you. It should shift for you. Because where the staring for your miracle is, there are dangerous wolves there. Where the staring for your miracle is, there are dangerous animals there. So Jesus, knowing that, and everybody had gathered by the pool, because it was around that time when the angel came. It was around that time. And waiting, they said to themselves, we will not allow this young lady to see her child. We will not allow this young man to have that breakthrough. We will not allow this marriage some stability. We will not allow this ministry to be birthed. Jesus, knowing that, goes behind them into a neutral place where there is no pond, where there is no pool. And then singles out a man who has been so intercepted in life, who has seen too many failures, who has birthed the wind, who has failed to have strength to push. He singles him out that comes here, and crawling on the floor, he crawls in shame and humility and despair to the master. And when he gets there on all fours, he lifts up his head and looks at the man and said, sire, I have no man to put me into that pool. And the season is about now. And I see many who have better things than I standing there. And he says something to him. He says, son, you want to be well? He says, say, I want to be well, but I have no man. He says, forget the old. Forget the things you have known. Forget the protocols of old. For behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not see? I will even make a way in the wilderness and create rivers in desert places. Take up your mat. He said, I can't do that. It has to be stirred. No, I'm speaking that God would change your mindset. Because God is waiting to do something new for us. But our minds are still fixed unto the old ways. Our mind is still fixed unto the dogmatic ways. But he says, son, take up your mattress. Fold it up. Receive strength in your legs. Begin to walk home. And whilst this was happening, his accusers and his interrupters were still waiting by the pool, thinking that that was where the miracle is coming. I'm praying for somebody who is about to conceive outside their ovulation period. I am praying for somebody who is about to conceive outside ovulation, because they know the cycle and they come around every time because they know the cycle. I am praying for somebody who is about to receive a breakthrough outside the normal protocols. The movement is about to happen. Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. He said that you meant it for evil, but God has meant it or turned it for my good. Hear the word of the Lord. It doesn't matter where they push you. It doesn't matter where society has placed you. As a matter of fact, it doesn't matter where your SSYC results have put you in life. It doesn't matter whether you are second class, upper or lower. What matters is that you will come into contact with the changer who changes things, with the convener of grace. What matters is for you to meet him. Wherever life has placed you, your treasures will still come to you. Jesus was in a manger, sleeping with the animals, yet the wise men located him, yet the treasures come to him. May your gold come to you. May your silver come to you. May your frankincense come to you. May your myrrh come to you. It doesn't matter whether you are sleeping in somebody's bedroom today. It does not matter. Joseph was in a pit, but the treasure came in the form of the Ishmaelites. Joseph entered into Potiphar's house, but the treasure still came. Joseph entered into prison, but the treasure still came. It does not matter how the marriage is. It does not matter whether you have failed expectations. It does not matter. You will say like Joseph, you meant it for evil, but God has turned it for my good. I prophesy to somebody here that any darkness, any situations you are facing, that God will lift you out of it in Jesus' mighty name. Psalm 112 verse 4, he says, and unto the upright light shall arise out of darkness. I speak to any upright person here that any dark situation you are in, receive light now. Receive light now. Receive light now. Receive light now. In the name of Jesus, receive light now. Favor for your disfavor. Grace for your disgrace. May any darkness, may light arise out of you. He says, unto the upright, there arises light even in darkness. I am praying for you that any dark situation, any blinding situation, any circumstance that you are in that appears too dull, that God shall cause illumination to come out of it. He said they looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not put to shame. I am prophesying to you, P345, that as you look to God, your faces will not be put to shame. As you keep your eyes on him, your face will become radiant. That difficult situation shall turn around for you in the name of Jesus. They may push you on every side, but it will still not have effect on you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says that, but we have this treasure, verse 7, in an earthen vessel. Let me go back to 6. He says, for it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Can you see that thing again? Light to shine out of darkness. When our God calls for light to shine out of darkness, he is not introducing new incandescent bulbs. No, he is commanding the darkness to metamorphose into light. You don't understand me, people. Help me, Lord. When God comes into a situation and there is darkness and he commands that light should come out of darkness, he is not introducing new light. When God is in the situation, that dark situation can transform and receive light. He says, for it is God, 2 Corinthians 4:6, it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, that has shown in our hearts the light of the glory of the knowledge of God. Verse number 7, he says, and we have this treasure. Can I preach it to you? It says, and the but there is wrong. The translation says, and we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of power may not be of us, but shall be of God. Verse number 8. He says, for we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are persecuted. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. He says, we are cast down, but not destroyed. I am praying for somebody here that you begin to hope again, to anticipate that God can do it again. That hope for good things, that even though you are pressed on every side, even though you are perplexed, even though you are persecuted, even though they will throw you down, out of that thing, goodness is coming. One of my favorite scriptures is in Judges chapter 14, verse 14. And he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. Can I speak it to a believer? Can I prophesy to 10,000 people listening to me now via this podcast all over the world, that any strong thing that came to eat you up, you will eat something out of it. Any hard thing that came to swallow you up, you will receive sweetness from it. In the name of Jesus. Say, I believe it. Oh, I can go on and on and on. I can go on and on. Because he is the Lord. Is there anything too hard? If we don't preach hope, some of you are sitting here saying, you are always talking about, if we don't preach hope, what should we preach?
And surely
he will do it. Hold on to your faith. He will do it. Sing it. Let me hear you sing it.
And you will see the hand of the Lord in your life.
Joshua 3 verse 5. Hold on to your faith.
All the days of your life.
Because you can't do the things people are doing. People are sleeping with other people's husbands to take money. People are doing very terrible things to be able to get some money. People are going to witch doctors to do things. But you have been keeping yourself. Yet it looks as if the thing is not happening. Hold on to your faith. Hold on. Hold on. Long suffering is part of Christianity. Hold on. Disappointment is part of Christianity. Hold on. Failures are part of Christianity. Hold on. Stop putting timelines on God. Hold on. Learn to be content. You are single and so what? Somebody is single and doesn't have a womb. Somebody is single and doesn't have eyes. Hold on. You don't have a child and so what? Somebody just wants to be married. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on to your faith. Hold on, because God is about to do something. Anticipate it.
Yes.
Anticipate it.
And you will see.
Thank you, Lord.
The hand of the Lord in your life.
I am taken into a vision as I'm speaking now. And I see somebody crying. And I see the angel of the Lord collecting the tears into a bottle. And I hear a song to the person that Jaisu, Jai Komo, Bobe Jo. Hold on. I said, hold on. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. Oh, Joshua 3. Yeah. Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. For tomorrow. For tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves. I don't know when your tomorrow is. Maybe your tomorrow is tomorrow. Maybe your tomorrow is next week. Maybe your tomorrow is next year. But for whatever you do, don't give up. Be in readiness. For when your tomorrow arrives, the Lord will do wonders for you. Get ready. Hold on to your faith. All the days
of your life. And you will see the hand of the Lord in your life.
See, I'm coming out.
I'm coming out.
In closing, Psalm number 40. Verse number 1. I waited patiently on the Lord. I waited patiently on the Lord. I want you to know that they may be fighting you. They may be everywhere. But the Lord will shift the paradigm just to bring you out of it. So I waited patiently on the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. He brought me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet over the solid rock. God is changing your realm. God is changing your realm. That is why it appears as if he has not heard you. You are in a miry clay and a horrible pit. Can you imagine a wedding gown in a miry clay? Can you imagine that big company in a miry clay? So he's trying to bring you out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit. And it involves painfully, my brethren. So today, we are people in our churches who just have a mentality that God is lifting them up. God is lifting them up. God is not lifting you up anywhere. You have to do something. And then he will bless the work of your hands. Now he says he heard my cry. He brought me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And I'm not going to teach that like a charismatic. No. Because bringing you out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, involves too many things. A complete change of mindset. Many of you, your mindset is still in the horrible pit. So you are in the marriage, but your mind is still in the horrible pit. So it looks as if God is taking too long. And the reason is this. Because you are not completely out of that horrible pit. Because you speak in tongues, but still you have so anger issues. Because you see visions, but still you cannot respect your husband. Because you can prophesy and sing like an angel, but you still have some miry clay going on in your mind. Because you are blessed with a good woman, but you still cannot see. So God is trying to bring a change in your mind. And that is the longest change that happens. The longest transformation for anybody who has been marking time in Christianity, I can bet you 6 out of 10 of them is because that the mindset is still not changed. So God is trying to bring you. He brought me out, up. That's what the scripture says. He said, He brought me up and out. He says, He brought me up and out. And that is illumination. That is, it's an expansion. He brought me up and out. I've just brought him out. I said, He brought me up. He's moving you from one level of mindset to another. You need to come out of that horrible pit. You need to come out mentally. You need to come out. You need to come out because this mindset cannot sustain a marriage. Because this mindset cannot lead a company. Because this mindset, yeah, but there are people worse than me who have made it. Well, you may exchange shoes with them if you like. Up and out. I'm praying for you that you come out of that. A new mindset for your home. A new mindset for the ministry. A new mindset. There has to be a change. There has to be a change. You can't continue like that. But there is hope for your end. Micah chapter 7, verse number 17 is one of the favorite scriptures I love. It says, therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. For when I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I pray for you that as you move, transition from the stupor of life, from the hopelessness like that man that crawled on all fours to Jesus, waiting for the moving, yet the Lord said, I have changed it. Listen, my people. Can you imagine the number of people that could have been healed that day had they changed their mindset and just went to Jesus instead of waiting by the pool? Can you imagine? Can you imagine that Jesus got there just for one man? Can you imagine? So when they saw him, so they couldn't follow. I mean, I don't get it. I was preaching somewhere about a mindset, and I told them that 2 men hang on the cross with Jesus. One said to him, remember me in paradise. Then he said to him, today you will be with me. And I am still at a loss about the action of the other malefactor. That when the skies turned dark, he saw. When the Roman centurion had a change, he saw. When they pierced his side, and not only blood came, but water came out, he saw. And when he said to another thief that today I tell you, you will be with me in paradise, he still heard it. Even when Jesus cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, he heard it. When the clouds, the eclipse came, he saw it, but he still did not change his mind. He was still looking at him and telling him, if you are the son of God, stop all this changing of the atmosphere. Save yourself and save us. That is how deep and painful and far away an unrenewed mind is. But today, as we are about to go into prayer, may we not and fall down and arise with the same mind. No. That's for young boys in ministry. No. For little children ministry. And therefore you are happy. No. If the ecstasy of the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you fall and you get up, please come out mentally from the horrible pit. See, I'm coming up. The up there was a mental change. Up. And then you can break out of the horrible pit. Please rise to your feet.